you. I am so much at home. And I just, there is nowhere I would have rather been than in the presence of the Lord and the family of God here this morning. All the places in the world, and I'm going to go a step further. Any other congregation, this is where the Lord wanted us all this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
From different places, from different backgrounds, different parts of the country, and I am so encouraged to be in the fellowship of the Spirit this morning. I just want to say, too, and I know Brother Kenny expressed this, but I just want all of you all to know how much you are loved and appreciated. Brother Don, thanks for being here and keeping the doors open.
Yes, amen.
Appreciate those that the labor of love and the continual sacrifice and desire and purpose to see the work of God go forward.
Yes.
And we want you all to know that we are behind what you're doing here, and we are supportive of that. And there's nothing like being in the presence of the Lord, coming down in such a special way. I've been to church this morning. We could dismiss.
Yes,
and I would say it has been wonderful.
Yes, amen.
In the presence of God. I am mindful this morning of Sister Serena's aunt, and I did not know her well. I remember many years ago she got up and testified. It was my understanding she lived a very rough life and in sin. And I remember she got up and she testified and she asked, and I don't know if they have this in Oregon, they do in the Midwest. You see signs on the corners that said, "We buy ugly houses." And she was saying she felt like she was that ugly house that the Lord came and purchased.
Thank you, Lord.
And He did something beautiful.
Yes.
He changed. He set free these wonderful songs that we heard sung this morning.
Yes.
He gave peace where there wasn't peace.
Yes.
Where there had been defeat, the Lord gave victory.
Yes.
Can you lead us in the song, the verse, something beautiful, something good? Just can, if you don't, someone knows that well enough to lead a verse of it. Song says, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife. But He made something beautiful.
Yes.
You know what the Lord wants to do in each one of our lives this morning? Desire and interest in your prayers that the Spirit of the Lord would just continue to have right of way in our midst this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 5, the title of the message this morning is The Fifth Column. The Fifth Column. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it said, "Casting all of your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Isn't it wonderful to be able to cast your care on Him this morning? And if there's anyone here that is feeling pressed down and burdened down, there is a place that we can cast, and it means to fling far from.
Yes,
that's what that means in the Greek, that we can fling far from us our care. Why? Because He cares for you. The Lord cares for each and every one of us. It doesn't matter how broken we are this morning. It doesn't matter how ugly.
Yes, amen.
It does not matter the addictions.
Thank the Lord.
It does not matter the sin. It does not matter the things that have bound you up. There is a place in Jesus Christ this morning that we can bring all of those things and just cast them at His feet, and He can make a new creature out of us. Well, the Scripture goes on to say, but be sober. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. We have an adversary this morning. We have one that is out to kill, steal, and destroy every single one of us spiritually. He does not care how long it takes. He does not care if it's just today or if it takes 30 years. He has a plan and He has a purpose for all of us. And so we need to be aware of where the enemy is working this morning.
Right.
The enemy hates services like we've been in this morning. He hates it because I've been so blessed that it gives me courage. It helps me know again that there's a unity of the body of Christ. And when I go back home, I know I'm going to face the devil. But you know, I have been in the presence of God. And the Spirit of the Lord can go with each one of us and fortify us and strengthen us that we can live a victorious life this morning. But it is also a reality that there is an enemy. And he is seeing in each one of our individual lives, he's laying traps, and he's laying snares, and he's out to defeat us spiritually. So let's put on the whole armor of God. Why? That we may be able to stand against the wiles of who?
The devil.
The devil. For we wrestle not against what?
Flesh and blood.
Flesh and blood. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I believe this morning if our spiritual eyes can be opened up fully, if we could see the enemy for who and what he is, and we can really see where he was working, it would make us a lot more sober and careful in the daily decisions that we're making in our lives. Because the reality is that the devil is not all about pitchforks and horns. I mean, how many of y'all have seen the devil like that? You can see some of the extreme wickedness and say, okay, I see the devil there. But I'll tell you, the devil's pretty sly this morning. He dresses up just like us this morning. And he even puts on that little shot of cologne, and he smells good sometimes. He comes in ways that he has a trap laid. And I believe if our eyes, and I say, Lord, just a little bit this morning, could you open up our eyes to recognize where the enemy is working. He's working in families like I have never seen. He is working to try to split up marriages. He's trying to split and divide God's people. He's trying to plant seeds of confusion. He's trying to plant seeds of false doctrine. Why? Because he has an end game in mind. I don't care how long it takes. I want to cause people to fall away from that victory and that peace that they have in the Lord.
Yes, amen.
And so then, when we start to recognize that we're in a spiritual battle, the choices that we make this morning, can we remember that we are in a spiritual battle?
Oh, Lord.
I am very thankful this morning to report that he is a defeated foe.
Yes, thank the Lord.
I am thankful that when there was a story in Luke, I believe chapter 10, when the disciples came back and they were rejoicing because even the spirits were subject unto us. You remember what Jesus said? He said, I beheld what?
Satan
as lightning fall from heaven. He was not talking about Satan being up in the celestial heavens with God, but he was talking about in the ecclesiastical heavens. Satan had right of way in men's life. Satan had authority, and they came back saying, we cast Satan out. And Jesus said, or the spirits, and Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. He was high and lifted up. And if Satan in some form or capacity is lifted up in your life this morning, he can fall and that power can be broken through Jesus Christ this morning. It's through the blood of Jesus that the power of Satan can still fall today. And when we look on the world and we think, how can people live saved? What hope is there? There is hope and has been sung about this morning. If the glorious freedom came by Jesus Christ, the peace came not by fulfilling my will and my desires and my thoughts and what I wanted. It came when we resigned ourselves and laid down at the feet of Jesus and he brought deliverance to us. That's still where the power is this morning. The power's not in church. The power's not in a Christian club. The power is in Jesus Christ and in his blood, and it can bring about a change. Because see, many have grown up hearing the truth preached. But hearing the truth preached won't deliver you.
That's true.
Deliverance comes through Jesus Christ. When we voluntarily, of our own volition, come and say, Lord, I'm tired and I'm weary and I need deliverance. And the Lord said, I buy ugly houses.
Yes.
Thank God he's still doing it this morning. So he's been defeated. And yet, we want to recognize where he's working. There was a story about a general in Spain. He was when the Civil War was going on in Spain, it was a rebel general. And he was trying to conquer Madrid. And he said, I have four columns approaching the city. He said, one's coming from the north, one's coming from the south, one's coming from the east, and one's coming from the west. And one of his friends asked him, he said, so which one of those are you counting on taking the city? And he replied, he said, none of these. He said, the column that I'm counting on is the fifth column. That's the title of the message, the fifth column. And he said, well, where's the fifth column? And he said, I have men that are loyal to me inside of the city.
Oh, Lord.
And he said, I'm counting on them to deliver the city into my hands. Now, we have an enemy this morning.
Lord, help us.
And we can look and say, do you see where the enemy's working out there? There's a force within you. Folks, we're seeing those forces outside the city growing stronger and stronger and stronger. But we, as people, the enemy is attacking from all sides, is he not?
Yes.
Do you see where the enemy's been attacking from all sides? But do you know the enemy, it's kind of like that fifth column. He's counting on something to actually bring the city down.
Oh, Lord.
And it's called self.
Lord, help us.
That's right.
You've heard the question asked, who's our number one enemy? Yes, I know the devil. But I'll tell you what, there's a fifth column.
Yes, that's right.
And it's self. And the enemy has gained way too many victories because of self-centeredness. Self-will. Self. You know, carnal self is just flat out ugly. Have y'all ever seen that? You know, sometimes it's easier to see in other people, isn't it? But have you ever been in a situation and something came out and it was so ugly? And you just, it was like, what is this? It was self, wasn't it? People, Adam and Eve in the beginning, were at peace with God, weren't they? They walked with Him. They communed with Him. And yet, they fell to sin, and what they did in essence was they dethroned God from their life.
Yes, that's right.
And they placed themselves on the throne. So now then, instead of being God-centered, Adam was Adam-centered. And Eve was Eve-centered. And that's why mankind ever since has been self-centered. Do you know where sin stems from? Does it stem from out there? It doesn't, does it? Sin stems from inside. And that was the message that Jesus taught that was so different than what the Pharisees had taught. Because he said, you need to cleanse what is inside first.
Yes.
Lord, help us.
Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that's the world in which we live.
Yes.
Mankind has turned to their own way. And when we recognize, I believe, we have a religious background here, don't we? That we can pinpoint where the devil's working out there and out there and out there. And it's getting darker and darker out there. But I would that we be reminded in the Spirit this morning that there is a fifth column that we need to continually watch.
Yes.
And that is,
Lord help,
what's going on inside. Because people have turned away from God's way to their own way. And it becomes more about me and I than it is about God,
yeah.
His will, His plan,
right.
His purposes. You hear young people so often saying, well, I want. And you know what? It's fine to have goals and dreams and plans. But those purposes and dreams need to be taken off the throne and say, Lord,
yes,
I want you to stay on the throne.
Yes.
So, Lord, what do you want me to do? I don't want to follow because, see, self is robbing so many people of their joy and their peace.
Yes.
And it's counterintuitive because intuitively you would think, if I get my way, I mean, it's my way, that's going to make me happy. If I win the argument, married folks, now listen, if I prove my point, I mean, that should be, you're successful, right?
Yes.
Did someone say yes? How's it working? Do you realize that that's what it seems like, though? If I get my way, if I get even in the flesh, it feels good to me. Isn't that why people turn to sin? Because that's what I want. And it's not affecting anybody else. It's my business, and this is what's going to make me happy. How is it working? How is it working for the world? Is it bringing peace? Is it bringing happiness? How's it working in marriages? Folks, the devil is attacking the saint's home.
Yes, that's so.
He's attacking people who've been married for a long time. He's attacking the younger. He is attacking homes. What is the problem? What is the solution? Folks, self will cause problems.
Yes.
And getting what you want in your own thinking, in your own will, in your own desires will not bring peace.
Oh,
and it will not bring happiness. And that's why in every area of our life, if we can recognize the enemy, yes, we see the four columns. But let's not forget the fifth column. I've got me to contend with. And I get up to me every single day. And the goal and the challenge and the struggle is sometimes is, Lord, help me to keep you on the throne in my life. I don't want to be the one sitting on the throne, but Lord, I want your will and your purpose and your plan. Because really, philosophically, and we won't go down this road too far, but it's almost the ultimate selfishness. Because if you want happiness and peace, it's not going to come from getting what you want. It's going to come from submitting to God.
So
if you really want to be happy this morning, I mean, we're talking about what we need, right? What we desire.
Yes.
It's going to come by surrendering your plans and your will and
yes.
your rights. Your rights. It's going to come from submitting some of your pleasures
yes,
to the Lord that He can sit on the throne. And the consequence of that is, I'm actually happy.
Yes.
I'm at peace when there's trouble all around and you have submitted yourself in the hand of God and you are at rest and at peace. And the world looks on and says, that's crazy. How does that work? That's why it's counterintuitive.
Yes, that's right.
So Lord, help us to examine self. Because it's so much easier, like it's been said today, it's so much easier to look at everyone else.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't usually have to see how much hair I'm losing on the back of my head until I see a picture like that someone's taking from behind the crowd. It's like, oh, it doesn't seem that bad to me.
Man.
I mean, I know there's this much glare back there. And it's all right. You know what? That's me. That's me. So what do we see when we look in the mirror? What does self bring in people's life? Because this is the reality of where the enemy is working. Self-pride. You know, to some people, they're the most important person in the world. The world should revolve around them. Yeah, revolve around me. Self-pride. Does that bring victory?
Oh, Lord.
Does it bring happiness? Does it bring self? Does it bring that real peace of God? It doesn't. Because Jesus made himself of no reputation. He became a servant. He recognized that this is not where real victory lies in the world revolving around me. It's not about self-pride. Self-love, second cousin to it. Just want to be lifted up and exalted. And do you know it is self-love and self-pride that causes, as was said in Sunday school, our feelings to get hurt too easily? Why do people get hurt? Because you, that was me. You said something that hurt me. But if I could come and die out to myself,
yes.
There's not as much room to get hurt. Is this true?
Yes.
Do you see where the enemy, then we can recognize all of that, but the fifth column is, Lord, what about me? Am I putting too much stock in who I am as a person? And then when you say something, I'm hurt by that, and it drives a wedge, or can I just let it run off because who am I anyway? So then, Lord, if I find myself getting hurt too frequently, then Lord, help me to come and place myself and let you be on the throne in my life. Self-importance with worldly things. We live in a world that's striving to be the best. Striving to be the best. Now, I said worldly things. Can we add spiritual to that? Want to be the best spiritually. The best, and I'm talking about in the flesh. The flesh in our culture, it's all about being first and being the one that's lifted up. And is Christ on the throne? Do you realize the enemy has used the lawful cares of this world where that has been put on the throne for self-promotion, and many a person has lost their way and they've lost their soul because of it. Self-importance, self-will. The scripture over in Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is
death.
It's death. That's self. That's of the flesh. It's death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, self was in essence born a rebel. And you know, people, have you ever met people that they almost take satisfaction in promoting this, I'm a rebel. In other words, I'm not going to have someone tell me what to do. I won't fall into line in any way. I'm independent and I'm this and I'm that. Folks, we all have different personalities as we've heard. But if we want victory and peace in our life, it's going to come by saying, Lord, I want you on the throne.
Yes.
Self-will, doing what feels good for the moment, it's not the answer. Self-righteousness. Lord, I'm so thankful I'm not like these other people. No more spiritual than my sister. I'm so thankful I'm not like her. Do you realize that all of these things have brought out so far, it comes from the same source? Some people are stronger on one side than the other. They said, oh, that's the flesh. That's the carnal mind. And they bring little... You know what? We're talking about being vulnerable here this morning. You can go from congregation to congregation amongst God's people, and you can find an emphasis sometimes a little more on one than a little more than the other. I want to tell you something. All this stuff stems from self.
Yes.
Well, that's too worldly. Where's that come from? The flesh. That self. What? And then others say, well, you're self-righteous. Yeah, you know where that came from? Self. This is our enemy this morning. This is our challenge. That, Lord, help me to put you on the throne.
Yes,
because that's
Lord.
Where the answer is.
Yes.
Christ on the throne. So self-righteousness, it's easy to see maybe the fleshly sins. But self-righteousness is just as wrong. Thinking I'm just a little bit better or a little more spiritual because I do this and this. And at the same time, if I'm not willing to love my enemy and I'm not willing to reach out my hand to my fallen brother, am I any closer to God? No. It stems from self. Self-vindication. Anybody ever not willing to take the blame for anything? Always justifying if there's a problem. It's always them. You know, people can go to marriage seminars and marriage counseling, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with some of it there is, but not necessarily all of it. But I want to tell you what, if we were to take what the Bible teaches us and apply it in our life and face our marriages, face our relationships in the congregation, face life with saying, Lord, I want to die out to self. And I want you to be on the throne. Do you recognize that the enemy would be defeated in so many areas that people are struggling with this morning? Self-pity. A martyr complex. Everybody's out to get me. Or I'm just not good enough. And I look around and Brother Donnie's just better than I am. And I feel like then I start looking and say, I can't do anything. And I'm just not worthy of anything. Do you realize that that is the same spirit as the person that thinks I'm better than everybody else? It comes from the same place. It's the flesh itself. Whether it's self-pride or self-pity or self-righteousness, it stems from the same place. Because if God is on the throne in that place in my life, we will recognize it's not in myself, but I am a creation of God. And the Lord loves me. And by I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Do you not see how this starts changing our perspective in life? And the enemy begins to lose his power in where he's been working. Self-seeking. I want what I want. You know, we can never feed self enough. It's never satisfied. It's never content. It's never at peace. Self-exaltation. Folks, self will ruin our life. Self will ruin our life. Self is the cause of things that are breaking homes up. It disrupts true peace. In unity. So what do we do then? What's the answer? Is there an answer this morning? Because I'll tell you, self is pretty powerful. Self is pretty powerful. Romans chapter 6 verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin anymore. Do you know what it's saying? Is that when we come with our brokenness and sin, we can come to Jesus Christ. And He'll take that and resurrect us to walk in what? Newness of life. This is where it starts this morning, is with salvation. That what I thought would bring satisfaction, what I thought would bring peace, I'm recognizing it's not there. And I come to the Lord and I repent and He forgives me and He transforms my life and I get off the throne. And I allow Jesus Christ to come in and sit on the throne of my heart. That's the beginning, folks. Does that mean we don't have self to contend with anymore? We afraid to say?
No.
No? We still have self to contend with, but now self has been dethroned by the power of God. The things that had me bound, I don't have to do them anymore because of what Jesus Christ did in my life. And yet we still have areas in our life that self is there. The Spirit of God is there to help us say no to self. That's part of the reason the Holy Spirit wants to come in our life. To say no. Because you're going to have interactions. You're going to have temptations. We're going to have areas in our life that we're battling and contesting the enemy. It is the power of the Spirit that enables us to say no to Michael and yes to God. So while self is still there, he's been dethroned. And when he raises his ugly head, there is a power through the Spirit that we can say, Lord, I'm struggling here. I'm struggling. I need some help here. And it is the Spirit of the Lord that enables us to say no to self. And that's why it's imperative, if we want the victory, that we need the Holy Spirit. But we're going to have to recognize where the enemy is at work. Over in 2 Corinthians, there's another passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. In other words, it urges us. It moves us. And he said, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he that died for all, that they which live should henceforth not live unto themselves. They should not henceforth, therefore, live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. So the question is then this morning, who are we living for? Are we living unto ourselves? If we live unto ourselves, we will never find that true peace, that true satisfaction. But when we come to the place, it's, Lord, my desire is to live unto you.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, there goes self-righteousness.
Yes.
There goes self-pride. There goes self-exaltation. There goes self-pity. There goes self-vindication. Because now, Lord, I want you to be the one. I'm not living for myself. I'm living for others. I'm living for God. I'm living for that. And then the real peace comes from that. Remember John the Baptist, when he heard about Jesus and all the wonderful miracles he was doing, John said, he must increase. I must decrease. You know what? When we can recognize that in our life, we're going to start finding some of the solutions to the areas that the devil has been working so hard in people's lives. But Lord, I want you to increase. May I challenge all the married folks with something this morning? Next time something comes up in your home, and there's a little bit of, do we call them differences? Is that the best way to call it? Can you say, Lord, I want you to increase. Lord, I don't want this to be about me. But Lord, I want you to be preeminent in this discussion. Do you think that would take care of some issues? Do you think that when you go out into the world and you feel self, you know that's where temptation comes from, isn't it? Is it wrong to be tempted? No, Jesus was tempted. Tempted is when you feel the draw. I tell them at home frequently, you can put a can of beer in front of me. It's not a temptation to me because I have no desire for it. But it doesn't despiritualize you if you're tempted with it. My children say, yeah, I'll put a Danish in front of Dad, and that's temptation. But the point is, it's temptations when you feel the draw. We're all going to feel the draw until we make it to heaven. But the good thing about it is when you're tempted, it's drawing on something, that fifth column. It's trying to gain power there. But there is victory in Christ. We say, Lord, you're on the throne here.
Yes.
You're on the throne. And we will humble ourselves before the Lord. He'll give us His grace.
Yes.
So when we go out in the world, we say, I just haven't been able to withstand against it. Humble yourself and get God on the throne. And you can stand against all the temptations that before it seemed like there was no way out. Remember, Jesus was in the garden, and his prayer was, not my will. Can we say that this morning? Not my will.
Lord, help.
Your decisions that you're facing in life this morning, can we say, Lord, I have an opinion, and you know what? I value my opinions too. And I'm not joking. You know what? That's what makes our opinions, isn't it? We all value our opinions, otherwise we wouldn't have them. But Lord, with all of my desires and all of my opinions and all of my ways, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And what happened after Jesus prayed the prayer? The angels came and they ministered to him, and then he was taken to be beaten and despised, and he went to the cross. And we have to sit back and say, was it worth it? But the blessing is, that wasn't the end of the story.
Thank the Lord.
3 days later,
our
Jesus rose from the tomb,
resurrected,
never to be put to death again.
Thank
He's
God.
Still alive forever
at
the right hand of the throne of God. And He's the one that's making intercession.
Yes.
When we have these struggles and the enemy's fifth column, that which is inside is trying to work, to rebel against God being on the throne, when we come back and say, Lord,
not my will. And you know what? There's some agony at that place. But this morning I want to encourage you in the love and the fear of God. Do not be afraid of Gethsemane.
Yes.
And it was more than a one-time trip. Jesus went to heaven, but I'm still left here on earth.
Yeah.
And I've had to go back to Gethsemane multiple times and say, Lord, I'm really struggling here.
Yes.
I saw something in me. Lord, it was ugly. Well, we've got to crucify the flesh with the affections and lust, but I'll tell you what, I get up in the morning, Michael's still there.
Yeah.
But the Lord is too when I come back to that place of conflict with my will and what I know God wants me to do. And sometimes there's a price that we pay this morning, but I want all the young people and all of us to know this morning, if you will be willing to pay the price, you will find the power of God rich in your life, and you will truly find that true peace that was sung about for the message this morning. Jesus said, and oh, there's much more that Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him do what?
Deny himself
and take up his cross and follow me. But then tell me not of heavy crosses this morning, nor of burdens hard to bear, for I found this great salvation. Makes every burden light appear, because I found that the way of the cross is the way of victory. The way of self-denial is the place that really I start being at peace with myself. And it's not because of self, it's because of the presence of the Lord. This is our victory this morning. The enemy is working really, really hard. And he's working. We see him out there. I would just be reminded this morning of that fifth column. The enemy says, there's something in there I'm going to work in. But if we will come and resign ourselves into the hands of God. And this is why Paul said, I die how often? I die daily. He also said, I bring my body under subjection, that where I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I still remember distinctly, and I believe I shared it in Oregon, I was in Fresno for a meeting a number of years ago. And I was out in the car studying, and the Lord came to me so forcibly, and he said, he brought the scripture that said, to him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. And it was more than just hearing it like this. I was in tears. It brought fear on my heart. First thing I did was call my wife. I said, Renee, I don't know what's going to happen. What's going on? Within a year or two, the devil unleashed. But you know, the power of God, he forewarned. And folks, it's coming back to that place of Gethsemane, saying, Lord, not my will, but I want your will to be done. It's a place of our victory on a daily basis, folks. Young people, we love you all so greatly. We want you to be successful serving the Lord. And I know sometimes the struggle is hard, but I want you to know there's a place of victory and there's a place of peace. To all those that are married this morning, if you've had any marriage issues, and I'm not talking to anybody specifically, so don't think, well, Brother Michael's preaching at us. I'm finding the devil's working really, really hard right now. But if you will come to that place as well, sometimes it's a daily basis and sometimes it's even shorter increments than that. That, Lord, I want you to be on my throne.
Yes,
and I want self to be put down and brought under subjection. You will find the blessings of God in your home. You will find the blessings of God that whereas you're not content in your own skin, I'm finding the devil's working this way so hard among God's people. People aren't happy with themselves. They can't even stand themselves. You're beautiful people this morning. All right, Ken. Sorry. You are. In some, it breaks my heart when I see people I'm not happy. I can't stand myself. It's like, no. The Lord can give you peace with who He created you to be.
Yes,
so what do I have to do to get there? Yes. I have to come, whether it's pride or self-pity or self-loathing. I can come and say, Lord, I place myself in your hands and I want you to sit on my throne. I thank God for that. There's a place of victory and peace this morning. So as we go and we face the enemy and we see all how wicked the world's getting, let's forget the greatest force that the enemy is counting on tearing us down It's that which is within. And it's going to take the blood, and it's going to take the Spirit of God and His grace through us humbling ourselves, saying, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And all of us can make it victoriously to heaven.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.